Fred Film Radio, Venice Film Festival, Italy.
Fred Film Radio, I'm Matt Micucci from the 75th Venice International Film Festival, and I'm very pleased to be joined by director Ajuj Kuka. Lovely to meet you.
Lovely being here.
And you're presenting a film called The Roundup, Akasha, here at the festival in the Critics Week, International Critics Week section. So, yeah, I mean, the first question is kind of the obligatory one. If you could just tell our listeners who may not be familiar with the film yet a little something, as much as you would like, about the story or the theme of the film.
Okay, so the film is set, shot in the Sudanese Civil War on location. And one thing to understand really the film is the civil war that we have right now, when the rainy season comes, the ground becomes really muddy. Mm. And the cars and the tanks can't work, so there's a pause. So the film talks about that pause. The whole film happens in 24 hours where there's been a pause for a while, and then the rebel army needs to come back. And that's the Kesha. It's the roundup. The army is trying to round up everybody, and everybody has been doing their thing for a couple of months, and that thing is falling in love or farming or whatever. So our main character is somebody who's been messing around and doing the wrong thing for a couple of months, and he has to round up his life within these 24 hours.
You know what I love about what you just said in your film is that this seems such an original thing for me. As a viewer, I don't think I've ever seen a film that sort of talks about this specific thing, but even anything that particularly comes close to it. It's very much attached to Sudan, right, this film?
It's very much attached to Sudan, and this civil war this specific one has started in 2011. Mm. So it's a very specific, very local. It's not just, like, somebody who's living in the capital in Sudan doesn't know this. This is something that you have to be living in this little, small village in a war zone that's being controlled by the rebels. So it's a very local story. Yeah. That by asking an international community to look at it and experiencing it as humans, I'm also asking people who are Sudanese, who live in the capital, to listen and experience it from their hearts.
Right. That's fantastic. So there's the big object in the film is the rifle, or it's a rifle, right?
It's shotgun. Kalashnikov.
Something,
machine gun, yeah.
It's a big object. It's sort of like not necessarily a MacGuffin, but it's an important part of the story, sort of. But the film itself is actually, I thought it was positive. It was, I also had a sense of humor, right?
Yeah, when I made this film, one of my main things is I want my people to come watch the cinema, enjoy it, laugh, have fun, and just experience something together, and at the same time have something to talk about. So to me, it was very important that it's comedic, it's light, it's fun, it's exciting, and it brings us together. So to me, that's what cinema is. And also leave in our mind that there is something about this. It's layered. There's something I need to talk about. I don't know where it is. So I start a conversation.
Well, the reason why I'm highlighting this is because, again, these themes, obviously, like the Civil War and aspects like that, are usually not dealt with in something that can actually make you smile and make you think. So there is something quite powerful in there with, you know, a sense of humor and all that.
There's a statement I heard, and I don't know how true it is, but what gives us pleasure gives us power.
Right.
And to me, if we're trying to have change, I mean, Sudan is a very specific case. We have a military Islamic dictatorship that has been around since 89. Yeah. So it's something that's ingrained that we have to get rid of. It committed a genocide. It's committed mass atrocities against our own people. And it's still there. So for us to fight it, if we've been fighting for that long, we would just lose energy. Mm. So somehow, not to lose energy, we need to actually have fun about it.
And sort of to escape reality a little bit. So the film actually plays with that, because I remember, without giving anything away, there's moments when inanimate objects come to life, like a flower starts speaking to the main character. That's magical to me, right?
The magic of cinema is very important. Like the ability to do something that there's no way this really happens in real life, but this is more alive and tells us more than not happening. So I love that. I love the magic of cinema.
That's fabulous. So tell me a little bit about the actual production. I mean, had you been working on this film for quite some time? Did you encounter any challenges?
This film was all challenges. Yeah. If there was the documentary making of the film, it would have been more dramatic, more saddened than the actual film.
Really?
We ran into a lot of trouble. I don't know where you want to start. for example, we didn't have money. So we started shooting the film in a small DSLR. Me and the two main actors going up a mountain, going like digging and doing things for weeks. Yeah. And then suddenly we got some money from my co-producer in South Africa. So we're like, let's do a bigger production. So we got a cinematographer friend of mine who's Argentinian living in New York to come, a sound guy to come from Uganda. The rest of the crew were local. And we started shooting. We had a bigger crew with a slate and catering, and it was like great and everything. And then I fell out of grace with the Secretary of Information in the area, and we clashed really hard, and I think I overdid it. And he asked for my two main actors to be taken by the army, to be enlisted in the army.
Wow.
And they got their haircut during the middle of the film. And then that was beyond disasters. I'm shooting a film, I mean, I just got a haircut.
Continuity.
I had to make up stuff, and suddenly like it was this complex thing. But first it was like just dealing with the fact that they're arrested and stuff. And thankfully, because of my documentary work, the army really knew me. And when they found out that they were duped by the Secretary of Information, they were apologetic and they were very helpful. And they stood on my side. So I was able to first overcome that obstacle. It's like, okay, let's finish the film. And then it was the technicality of what do we do now? Wow. So the script had to be adjusted to fit the new circumstances we're in.
So obviously that's an incredible story, and I would love to really explore it in depth, but you know, the time is kind of cruel on that side. But so given that you had these challenges and that you kind of had to work around them a little bit, were you sort of in a way inspired by these challenges? Like overcoming these challenges was almost a motivation, and were you happier with the end product than maybe you would have been, do you think, if it had gone originally as planned?
Definitely the changes were more interesting and more exciting. So the film, that changes we had to do, they're like, oh wow, why didn't I think about that before? So the outcomes were actually even better and made more sense and made me think deeper about the film while I was in the middle of it. So the changes definitely were exciting from that end. Also, the actors and the crew was really involved in this, so it was even more passionate. And there was that drive to, like, we gotta do this film. We gotta leave everything. This is so important. And the film became this super important thing for us to do.
Yeah.
And it was so meaningful to us, and it connected us. And I feel like that excited us so much.
Yeah.
And in the end, we threw a party, and we actually put the party in the end of the film. And
you did,
that was the party that we threw out of, that was our release party.
No way.
That everybody was in it, and we were so exciting, and it was so much part of the film that let you guys like watch it in the end.
Wow. Just blending into like, you know, this blurring of lines between real life and fiction. That's fantastic.
It happened a lot throughout this film.
Yeah.
There's like the film opens with a documentary. Yeah. It opens with reality that blurs into not reality, and then it becomes this blurry that you don't really know what's real, what's not. And I love that about it.
Yeah. Well, another thing that I personally loved about it is that obviously I've never had the pleasure of going to Sudan, or, you know, for that matter, anywhere near it. And you mentioned cinematography early, and I really loved the way that in which the environment, the beautiful landscapes are shot. It shows that there's real love for the place, you know?
Yeah, so that's the reason I actually had to shoot early. So there's the rainy season, and then there's the dry season.
Yeah.
So when I started shooting, it was in November, because I needed to capture that space between the dry season and the rainy season. So we had to go up the mountains and shoot that. So I couldn't even wait for my cinematographer to shoot those scenes. And later, there was the challenge of continuity. How do we shoot and still have, without you noticing, suddenly we went from actually rainy, green thing into not. And that was like a challenge that the cinematographer also had and dealt with beautifully.
You know, I'm just, I think this is going to have to be our last question, but I don't want to end the interview without asking you. I feel like an important part of the film as well is the relationship that, you know, the man, the leading character has to the women in his life, let's say. Can you tell me a little bit about that theme and, you know, just the sort of disturbances that come between, let's say, the main character and one of his girlfriends and just that situation?
So to me, what the girlfriend, the main one, Lena, the lead actress, represents is the real revolution. Like what he should really understand. She really gets it. Yeah. And he is like lost. He's like in between, just want to live life. He wants to run away. He might die any moment. So he just wants to be with as many women as he can, have fun, and really, really love his gun.
Sure.
And she's the one who awakens the idea that it's not about the gun. It's more, there's something more important to life. And this whole gun thing is like, he's not even real because he's not even a good soldier.
Yeah.
So this, the lead actress, and she played it beautifully, represents revolution, going beyond the reality that we're in, and actually the dreams that you can have. And she really gets it.
The revolution is female. Yes. I just threw that in there. Look, I would talk to you forever about this film. It's so interesting in the making of. I thank you very much for getting really, you know, for answering all my questions greatly. I wish you all the best with the film. It's really worth watching, I think.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
Once again, I remind our listeners that the film is called The Roundup. Thank you very much. And that this is Fred Film Radio, the Festival Insider.
Fred Film Radio, 24/7 on Fred.fm and smartphone apps.